My name is Lori, and call myself a food addict. I wouldn't have said that when I walked through the doors. I didn't know anything about 12-step programs. I came in absolute utter desperation. I was chased in here. And thank you, God, I have remained. And it's been a lot of years. You know, I'm not sure exactly how many. I was just going to calculate it, but it's only been over 48 years since I first walked through the door. I hadn't been abstinent for 48 years. You know, when I came in, there was no 90-day program, probably not for another 4 years or so before it did come into being. So I came in because I was hopeless. If I wasn't hopeless, I wouldn't be here. I'll tell you that right now. And now that I have a grasp, as I've stayed in here, what addiction is, I know how important I'm not desperate with food, but I am very much have a very strong desire to continue to practice living these steps because they have such a positive effect on my life and I believe those around me. So my hopelessness and I had the phenomenon of craving, and even when I came in, diet beverages were allowed. And I soon found if I brought them into my home that it would be calling me from every corner of my house. It didn't matter whether I put them in hard-to-get places, because I did. I didn't hide them on myself. But I thought if I made it difficult, I wouldn't go after them. Just as I thought if I threw away my favorite burnt orange corduroy pants, if I gave those to Goodwill, it would stop me. I didn't have anything else. I didn't. I used what measures that I could come up with that would stop it. Sometimes, well, obviously before, I definitely came into vanity. I'll just say that I was about 5'3½". I think I've lost a couple of inches since then. I'm an older person. I was not large on my top half, but I was very large on my bottom half, which can make it very difficult to wear clothes. So there were a lot of reasons, and there were a lot of rationalizations that I tried to give myself to accept myself as I was. And I remember having a conversation with myself saying, all right, you know, so this coat is hanging off your top part and just tight across your bottom butt, and you're waddling across this parking lot like a duck. But after all, you're a matron. You're in your 30s. You know, what do you want? You're married. You have a home. You have 2 cars in the driveway and 3 children. What do you want? Just accept this is the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. Get at peace with it. And that was it. It's more important. I had this idea, more important who you are on the inside than you are on the outside. Well, you know, that's fine, but it didn't work. You know, I was irritable, restless, and discontented with whom I was. And that still might be one of my biggest problems, but it's gotten a lot better. So, you know, here I am. You know, here I am by the grace of my higher power, whom I choose to call God. And his hand brought me in here, and I didn't see it from maybe 30 years afterwards that where I heard about Overeaters Anonymous being in my, I thought it was in California, and I just not pursue it at that point. But I found out it was in my own backyard. It was right here in my own city. And eventually, not right away, you know, because how could I fit this into my life? I have too much going on. I have 3 kids. I'm going to take a course at the college. I'm going to do this or that. I'm doing scouts. I mean, I did everything. But it gave me no peace. It gave me no joy, basically. I can't say that. I did. I had joy in my children and doing things with my children and for my children and husband and family. But abstinence changes everything. But at first, it's hell. It really is. Everything they said was strange. And when I walked in, the most important thing I heard at my first meeting was somebody said this was a disease. I was dumbfounded. It was the only thing I could remember. I had binged the weekend before. The meeting was on a Thursday night. I think I was still hungover, quite frankly. You know, the woman at the PTO bake sale that told me about the OA being in my, came and got me. I called her that Sunday night when I was, you know, I threw a birthday party for my sister, and I couldn't stop eating after everybody had gone home. And I felt like I couldn't take it anymore. And I just picked up the phone. It might have been 8 o'clock at night. And I said, can you get me to a meeting right away? And then there weren't meetings right away. There wasn't meetings to go to right away. I had to wait till Thursday. I mean, that might have been the only meeting in the surroundings at that point. And that's where I've heard that I had a disease. And my recovery started. And did I lose the weight? I probably had the weight off. I came in February, and I had the weight off by the summer. I was probably around maybe 45, 50 pounds overweight. And I have good hips, but I'm basically small frame gal. So there I was, and it was like, it wasn't easy, but it was amazing. And then I started questioning whether I was really one of these people. So, you know, I think my recovery was difficult because I had disbelief of what it took, what addiction was, because I had been in a dieter since a kid. What addiction was and what it would take to be in recovery. I don't think any of us really knew in my group, honestly. But I did have, you know, and it was a big change.
Handheld reminders, 13 minutes left.
Thank you, Manoj. So it was a big discovery for me when I didn't call my sponsor the first Christmas and I thought everybody else was doing fine. And when I finally called her, like nobody else had made it through the Christmas holiday either. And that was the land that I grew up in. And I just thought it was preposterous. No holidays, no anniversaries, no birthdays. What? What are you talking? But that's lack of knowledge of what addiction is. Addiction never takes a holiday, and it never takes a day off. And I happen to classify as an addiction addict. And that's why I have to take this very, very serious. It's a life and death issue to me. As was pointed out, when my husband had illness, he had Crohn's, blew a hole in his intestine. And then he had kidney failure, which we were in utter disbelief when the doctor told us how much function he had. Now, this was years ago. But I remember going, this was when he had the Crohn's first, and I went into Boston to see him at Brigham and Women's, and then I came out, and I was going to a meeting, and I went in to tell my sponsor I couldn't do this. Like, this was so stressful, I just felt like driving into a bridge abutment between having three teenagers at home, my husband in Boston, and keeping up with all of this. I'm so grateful for her. She looked me dead in the eye, and she just said, Lori, your disease is as deadly as his. One thing I'm grateful for is that I know the truth when I hear it. I might need to be hit between the eyes with it, but I know the truth when I hear it. And I knew she was right. I knew she was right. And I'm so grateful for the disciplines I have in this program, because I definitely have been a fly-by-the-seat person, not actually joyous about any disciplines. And when my husband did go on dialysis, I was there. He went on self-care first, and I would set him up on the machine. So I would drive him in, set him up on the machine, go to my meeting on Thursday nights, get out of the meeting, go and take my husband off the machine, clean it up, and bring him home. I had disciplines. I knew. And if I was asked to qualify on the night that he was having dialysis, which was three times a week, which I think is very interesting, because I need to go to meetings three times to get my brain cleaned out, and he needed to go to get his blood cleaned out three times a week, and I could totally associate what we were both doing. And, you know, it was just the grace of God. I knew I could do this. I knew I had discipline in my life. I knew I could get them there on time. I knew I would be there to pick them up. I knew what I had to do, and I knew I could do it because of the disciplines that I lived in here in this program. I'm very grateful for it. It's had a huge influence on my life. Also, one of my blocks to getting recovery was because of my spiritual practices, was fasting in it. And I really thought I was doing something for God by eating three times a day and nothing in between. And what I found out was that God will never settle for that thinking, because that is so opposite of the truth. He had to straighten me out. And it's like, no, I'm doing this for you, baby. You're not doing this for me. When you get this straight, we'll be on a working basis. So that had to change. There's a lot of things that had to change in my thinking, not just in my eating. We had a mantra back then, because there was very few meetings that you could go to that were established that wanted to hear about the disciplines of the 90-day program that came into being. And it came into being because of continuous relapse. And like, why did alcoholics stay sober and we did not? And I'm so grateful for the disciplines in this meeting that let me know where my boundaries are and when I'm abstinent and not abstinent. So I'm grateful for that. And with the 90-day program came immediately study of the steps. They came hand in hand. Prior to that, it was either an open big book or an open 12-step meeting, but there was no real structure to step study. And so it was huge. I couldn't get into a step study when I had my young days in this program, my early years. So that was absolutely a life changer right there to be studying the steps now, getting the change. I remember reading my first fourth step to my sponsor. Actually, my first fourth step I did to a person of my religion. And he did not know what was going on. He really didn't. He looked at me and saw a slim person and thought, why are you here? You know, and whatever I was saying to him, apparently, and, you know, whatever, it just didn't work out. But the following steps were all given to sponsors. And I remember my sponsor looking at me as I'm giving this self-pity dribble to her. And I thought I'd glance over and look at her, and she was glancing at me. We both burst into laughter. Like, when you're reading some of this stuff, it's like, wow.
Reminder, 7 minutes.
Thank you. I've done several manners and several different books of doing step studies I started out with a little red book. That was told to me that was the only book. Then those leaders changed and they did the 12 and 12. I thought they betrayed me and lied to me, but I went anyway. And then I went later, much later down the road, I've done the steps out of the big book, which has been the most life-changing thing that I have ever done. You know, I think about the Serenity Prayer and I think about the way this program is laid out, that it tells me right from the beginning that I need a relationship with a power greater than myself. They have those three pertinent ideas in the big book that, you know, I can't do it, you can't get me to do it, only a power greater than myself is going to make that, it's going to make the cut on this. Other people aren't going to bring me, you know, I can't get anybody abstinent, I can't keep anybody abstinent. The only place that I have a shot at is that if I go to, it's you, me, and my higher power keep me abstinent. I pray you find that combination yourself, because that's what it has taken for me. That's the only thing I know. I have commitment to three meetings, and I have commitment to three phone calls a day, and I have commitment to weighing, measuring my food. I happen to have the privilege of being able to eat three meals. I totally respect people who have to do more than that. And I totally respect medical issues that people have and need to have alterations. I certainly have had alters in my. I always thought once I got to maintenance, I'm free, baby. I got it now. I just have to do this. No problem. Well, that was a fantasy. There's certainly illness. There's certainly surgeries. There's certainly age changes, digestion changes. I've hit 80 this year, and it's like there's all kinds of changes that just go on. So life is constantly changing. No flour, no sugar. I don't adulterate my food. I keep it plain and simple. That's what I do because that's what works for me. I was told that why would I make my food sing and dance if I'm a food addict? Why would I do that? You know what? That made sense to me. I'm not going to argue with that one. I get it. You know, so this is the stuff that if it makes, well, it's not just if it makes sense to me. I'm under the guidance of a sponsor. And, you know, I have no desire to alter my disciplines of years because they work, and I'm a slippery critter. So I know that my years in doesn't mean I couldn't be out there. And the disease, I respect the insidiousness of this disease. It doesn't come knocking on my door with a big club. I always thought it would be like me, Tarzan, you, Jane. It would, you know, tear me out of my cave, whack me over the head, drive my nose is bleeding, and it's going to drag me into this cave. No, that's not it. I've experienced relapse, and it's like quicksand. And the harder I struggled, the deeper I sunk. And I do have to surrender and just do this, and that's no different today than it was yesterday. I just have to do this. I'm not trying to play around with it. I'm not trying to change it. If it works, it works. And may I never think I'm so well that I don't. That's all I have to say is may I never. The physical disciplines and also the mental spiritual disciplines, I do writing every day. I write on a piece of approved literature. I do my inventory. I look at myself. I've reduced it to the what have I done well. What are my blessings, what I have done well. You know, the writing, 15 minutes on a piece of material, and then my inventory, where are my glitches? Where are my uh-ohs today? What do I need to look at in that 11th step that I would like to do differently with the help of God and others? What is it, Lori? Where can a change be made that would make life better for myself and others? And then my goals, and I write those goals down because I need to place it in my brain. If I don't place it in my brain, then it's just wafting out there. And it's not going to make much of an impression on me when the next time it comes up and I can say, wait a minute, I remember this. I don't want a repeat of the consequences of that behavior. So with God's help and others, I can change. I can change. It's not a neat program. I definitely need all of you. I don't do well alone. But the good news is about this higher power, this presence that is something besides human that can be with me wherever I am at any time. And sometimes it says pray constantly. We went through a big thing one time about all the musts. There's like 54 or 45 or something in the big book because we thought nobody must do anything in the big book. Read carefully. There's always conditions before there's a promise. Or if there's a promise, there's a condition afterwards. If you do this, you will get this. It's not lying. It's telling me the truth. It's telling me facts about the consequences of my behaviors. I no longer want to split my wrist.
Gentle reminder, 1 minute.
Renush, thank you. So I don't have to split my wrists over this stuff anymore. You know, the pride level's gone down. The fact that I'm an imperfect human being has risen up. That I have a loving, compassionate God. I ask that I be that way with myself and others and stay on the track. Stay. My desire is to travel this road of happy destiny until they throw dirt on me. Thank you, everybody. My phone number is private cell 978-578-6674. 978-578-6674. And I just want to say, this is work. This has to be a priority in my life every day. I have to know where it fits in and when I'm going to do it. Otherwise, life will crush it out. And I've heard in this program, don't lose the gift because of the gifts received. Thank you.